Chapter 59. Wednesday nights we've been studying Bible characters, and we're departing from that again tonight because tomorrow is the 4th of July. And I heard a message this week from Brother Gary and Brother Gary and Brother Joe that were with me. I apologize, but we heard a message at a preacher's meeting Monday, and I thought, I got to preach that. It was on Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, and I said, that's got to be our Wednesday night message, thinking about the 4th of July. So we're going to look at it tonight. We're going to begin in Isaiah 59. We'll back up to verse number 9 and start there. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 9, and we'll read down through verse number 15. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse number 9. There the Bible says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. God, as we look at this passage that we're about to consider this evening, we pray you'd give us understanding. God, you're addressing a nation many, many years ago that had fallen into utter godlessness and corruptness. God, not only that, but you're prophesying about a nation yet to come that's going to go through a time again of this same despicable behavior that they did back in the Old Testament. And yet, Lord, in between those two prophetic events and natural events, you've given us a picture of our society in the day we live in today. We're thankful, God, that your word is so valuable and rich. The Lord, it gives us all that we need to know and understand in this life. Father, we don't need political science 101. We've got the Word of God that gives us everything that every sociologist and psychologist could teach us today. So, Father, help us to glean from your Word this evening, to understand the times that we live in, because, Father, you've made it crystal clear. And, Father, help us, in light of those things, to do what we can to turn our nation back to God. Bless your word, we ask tonight, to each and every heart, in Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. The verses we've read tonight describe a nation, historically and prophetically, that has gotten about as far away from God as you can possibly get. It says in verse 9, "Therefore is judgment far from us." Verse number 10, "We grope for the wall like the blind." Verse 11, "We roar all like bears." A lot of noise, a lot of groaning, but nothing being done. Verse 12, "Our transgressions are multiplied before thee." Verse 13, "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God." What a bleak picture is painted in Isaiah chapter 59. And what I want you to see tonight as we look at this passage is that it more accurately describes our times than any newspaper you're going to read. Any book on economics or sociology that you're going to get in college today, this Bible shows us the condition of our world and of our country tonight. And it's not a pretty picture. The 4th of July is a challenge for every preacher every year because we have two choices. Either we preach what's wrong with America or what's right with America. And there's a lot of things right about it. Don't misunderstand me. I'll be the first one to tell. I'd rather live here than any other country in the world. I have no qualms about that. Yet at the same time, I know that we are not what we used to be. And if we don't have a drastic change, we're not going to be what we even are right now for very much longer. Because we're guilty of falling into the trap and being exactly as the Bible describes us in Isaiah chapter 59. In the book of Isaiah, in these chapters right here, as they come to the end of the book of Isaiah, we find a nation that's completely godless in chapter 59 because of their political leaders. Look back, if you would, at, or not 59, 56. Look at the end of chapter 56. And see if this doesn't describe politics in America right now. Chapter 56, the end of the chapter, verse 9. All the beasts of the field come to devour, talking about giving that godless nation over to them. Because, he says of that nation, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They just don't see right. They're all ignorant. Sorry, politicians. I didn't say that. God did. They're all ignorant. No, it gets worse. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. More interested in personal comfort than in really accomplishing something or doing something. Verse number 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. Let's raise taxes. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. Is there anyone here that doesn't know that a politician will go whichever way the wind blows? That whatever his constituents say, that's what he's going to do? He's got no personal conviction. He's got no personal decision. It all depends on which way things are going. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Empty promises. Isn't it amazing that the Bible could describe a nation in such terminology and be so accurate? In chapter 56, we see the failing of the political government in chapter 57, chapter 58, we see the failing of society itself. The end of chapter 57 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And the whole chapter talks about those turning away from God and turning to other things. In chapter 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Chapter 58 is the failure of the religious people. It's not just the politics, it's Christianity that's failed. It's Christians that haven't trumpeted the sound. It's Christians in our day and age, that Laodicean church period, that have compromised and backed up and accepted it. You know what? This is later in my sermon, but it's good now. Let me find out where my note is later. There's a pastor of a 10,000-member church in Tysons Corner, Virginia, that said abortion and homosexuality are minor concerns. That's the problem with America. We can point at the politicians, and rightfully so. We can point at our society, and rightfully so. But if judgment begin, it must begin at the house of God. And the reason our nation has fallen is because Christians have failed to be the influence they need to be. And not necessarily you and I. We're Bible-believing, faithful, Wednesday night church-going people. But Christianity as a whole has failed our country. And in chapter 58, it talks about the failure of those people. Then chapter 59 talks about the failure of the judicial system. You'll notice in this chapter, in the first 15 verses, the word judgment appears five times. Notice in verse number 8, the way of peace they know not, there is no judgment in their goings. Verse number 9, therefore is judgment far from us. Verse 11, the middle of the verse, we look for judgment, but there is none. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. In the end of verse 15, it displeased God that there was no judgment. And then the word justice in verse 4, none calleth for justice. Verse 9, neither doth justice overtake us. Verse 14, justice standeth afar off. The message of Isaiah 59, see, the nation has utterly corrupted itself. From its governmental leaders to its religious leaders to its judicial system, everything is utterly corrupt, and God is going to bring judgment upon it. Isaiah 59 We could break it up this way. Verse 1 and 2 talk about the dishonor of sin. The dishonor of sin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is here heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The dishonor of sin. Verse 3 to 7 talk about the deeds of sin. The deeds of sin. Notice verse 3. Your hands are defiled with blood. Verse 4. None calleth for justice. Verse 5. They hatch cockatrice's eggs. All right. Serpent's eggs. Verse number 6. Their webs shall not become garments. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. Verse 8. The way of peace they know not. The deeds of sin. Then in verse 8 to 15, it's the dividends of sin. Beginning in verse number 9, judgment is far from us. We grope for the wall. We roar like bears. Our transgressions are multiplied. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and judgment is turned away backward. Yea, truth faileth. The dividends of sin. And then verse 16 to 21 is deliverance from sin. And deliverance comes from a man whom God is going to send. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west to the rising of the sun when the enemy shall come in. Verse 24, as for me, this is my covenant with the Lord, my spirit that is upon me, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. There is deliverance from sin. But while he's talking about those dividends of sin in verse number 14, we find a fourfold indictment on the nation. Look at verse 14. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. Truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. That's the indictment against the nation of Israel, and it's also an accurate description of America in 2013. Our government leaders have failed. Our society is corrupt. Our judicial system has not done what God intended it for it to do. And we're in the same boat as the nation of Israel is. You know, someone has said, wisely said, everything rises and falls on leadership. That being true, America is at an all-time low. That's not just my opinion. I picked up the USA Today magazine this morning. Today, July 3rd, 2013. And inside the front section was an article about tomorrow being the 237th anniversary of the United States of America, our birthday. And in that article, it said that confidence in the government is at an all-time low. That's common knowledge right now. What's done about it? How's it going to get turned around? He said, what's the problem? Verse 14, judgment's turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Our nation was founded on the Word of God. Politicians are crooked, government is corrupt, and the American people just don't care. That's how simple it is. People don't care. They've got television. There's food in the refrigerator. They're cool in the summer and warm in the wintertime. They've got everything they need. They really don't care about anything else. That's a dangerous position to be in. Because people will give up anything to keep those comforts, and the government will take anything it can get that the people are willing to give up. And once they get everything that the people are willing to give up, then they begin taking the things that they're not willing to give up. It's a historical cycle in every communist and socialist country, and you can't beat it with a stick. That's just the way it works. We were founded on the Word of God. The Bible was our biblical basis for government. Look here in the book of Isaiah, and some of you I know are familiar with this. Look back at chapter 33. The Bible is our biblical basis for government. We are a nation founded on the Word of God. It doesn't matter what they tell you today. We are a nation that was founded on the Word of God. You could read quotes from presidents and statesmen and all that till your eyes fall out of your socket, and they're going to convince you that this nation was founded on the Word of God. The wording of our Constitution, the phrases in our Declaration, the first documents written on American soil all give tribute to the fact that we were founded as a Christian nation. And even our judicial system is based on Scripture, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. You notice the Lord's mentioned three times in three different forms of government. The Lord is our judge. That's our judicial system. The Lord is our lawgiver. That's our legislative system. They make the laws. I'm happy right now with our Ohio legislative system. You say, why? Because I got on the interstate and it said 70. Joni was a little too happy about it. I got on it and it said 70. I like that. Now, the paper today said, remember, 70 means 70, not 75. I didn't like that part, but it said, I like the, and that's what the second part is. The Lord is our lawgiver, legislative. The Lord is our king, executive. We got our three branches of government from Isaiah chapter 33. We are a nation. We are like no other government under the face of the earth right now. Our foundation of our republic system of government, not democracy, republic system of government, comes from the Word of God. That's what we're built upon. But something has happened. And society doesn't care. But God does. God is paying attention. God was watching everything in Isaiah 59 that nation was doing in 58 and 57 and 56, and he was recording it, and he was watching it, and he said, if something doesn't happen, Isaiah, you tell them judgment is going to come. I don't want judgment to hit America. I don't want God's wrath to be poured out on it, because as a Christian, we're not exempt. We don't get an umbrella that stops the judgment from God when it's hitting all around us that protects us that it doesn't hit us. If famine hits, everybody gets hit by it. If hunger and starvation ever hit America and the grocery stores, the shelves are empty, and Circle K, the stores are empty, God's not going to rain down from heaven a full closet for you at home. When judgment hits, it hits everybody. I don't want judgment. But it's going to come if America doesn't get back to God. It just has to. Notice, if you would, verse number 14. Let's find out the problem of the nation. There are four things in verse 14 I mentioned already, and if you'll read the verse carefully, I'm going to take them in the order of importance. And if you look at the verse, the first two, it says, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Four, all right? Four means the same as because. Because truth is fallen in the street. So the first two happen because of the third one listed in the verse. Judgment and justice fail because truth is fallen in the street. So let's start with number three. Truth is fallen in the street. Notice it says at the beginning of verse 15, yea, truth faileth. Back in verse number 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. People don't want truth. Today's society does not want what's true. They want what's convenient. They want what's politically correct. They want what pampers or comforts them. But people don't want truth. They're much like Pontius Pilate when Jesus was brought before him at the judgment hall. And Jesus said, I am come to proclaim the truth. Pontius Pilate walked away saying, what is truth? Now, he wasn't saying as someone that was eager to know the answer. He was saying it sarcastically and casting out. He's saying, what is truth? That's the way our world is today. They don't care. They're not interested in truth. They don't want to know about sin. They don't want to know about heaven and hell. They don't want to hear about unrighteousness and ungodliness, and they don't want to hear about righteousness and godliness. That's the condition of the world we live in right now. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 25 portrays it so perfectly, that they have changed the truth of God into a lie. That's the description of modern day society. Changing the truth of God into a lie. They didn't like the truth, they didn't want the truth, so they changed the truth. Why would someone trade creationism for evolution? What reason would someone have for saying, I'm no longer going to believe that we're created in the likeness of a holy and loving and perfect God. I know I'm going to believe that I came from a monkey, that came from a guppy, that came from a tadpole, that came from an amoeba in the... Why would somebody trade one for the other? Why would they trade the truth of God for a lie? You say, well, because science. It had nothing to do with science. That's the scapegoat. That's the out. Because people will tell you now, those that are in the know will tell you, science does not support evolution. It's always been a theory. It started as a theory. It remains a theory. Why has somebody traded in? Because they don't want truth. See, if there's a God that created, then there's a God that holds us accountable. And a God that will have judgment and justice. And that's the truth that people are trying to avoid. Truth has fallen in the street. People have allowed it to happen. Nobody's helped prop it up. Nobody's run over to get it back on its feet. It's fallen in the street, and everybody wants to have it that way. And our younger generations are growing up without really knowing truth. My generation was taught right from wrong, and when we did wrong, we knew it was wrong. The problem with young people today is they don't even know what's wrong. They're not being taught what's wrong. I'm reading a book right now called Escape from North Korea, and it's an amazing, it's a sad book. It's about the 24 million people in Korea right now, I mean in these days, and the conditions that they live under right now, and how, especially in the north, they're trying to cross the two different rivers and get into China, and what happens as they try to go and all that kind of stuff. And their whole population is just so backward and so ignorant. They don't know anything. They've not been exposed to anything, whether good or bad. And they get into North Korea, and there are churches that are ready to assist them. They've been told, when you get into North Korea, find a church. And you know what they say? What's a church? You say, oh, nobody could be. There are no churches in North Korea. There are four in the capital city of a name that I can't even pronounce, all right? There are four in the capital city, government-sponsored churches, to show the rest of the world that they allow churches. But there's none anywhere else in the rest of the country. And when they said, find a church, they had to say, what's a church? They said, well, one that's got something like this, a cross on top of it, because they didn't know what a cross was either. That's a nation that's had truth completely rejected, and that's the direction our nation is heading. We think that's extreme. We think that's way out there. But if you would have brought somebody from 200 years ago in America and sat them down with a 14-year-old today, that person would be amazed how little that person knows about truth. Truth has fallen in the street. We have a preoccupation. It's not just the Goths. You know, we see the Gothic people. We know they're weird. You know, everything's black and everything's pale. All right, you know that. But what about Harry Potter? Oh, that's widely accepted. Even Christianity Today magazine praised the Harry Potter. Witchcraft. Sorcery. And Christian people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. All the movies right now that are about witchcraft, it seems like the movie theaters just want to have Twilight, the Twilight saga and all that kind of stuff, and vampires and zombies. I was trying to remember the word. Zombie. Everything's about zombies and voodoo and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. The world has let truth fall in the street. Even the Christian, and you'll excuse me if I do a little preaching here, even the Christian version, the Lord of the Rings, the guy in there is, it's witchcraft. It's the same thing. We package it in, it's kind of like contemporary music. We package it in a different wrapping and say, okay, it's all right for Christians now, because these witches and this witchcraft are Christian witches and Christian... Truth has fallen in the street. We have no separation from ungodliness. Truth has fallen in the street. Number two. Verse number 14 says, for truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Equity cannot enter. We've got to begin by defining that word equity. Equity is not equality. That's not what it's talking about. The world gets hung up with equality. But equity means, according to the dictionary, justice, a word we're going to come into in just a minute, so we won't use it. Right. Right. Right cannot enter. What's right cannot enter. That would fit today's society. Impartiality, honesty, straightforwardness, these all are definitions given of the word equity. Fairness. fairness. See, when truth falls in the street, verse 15, when truth fails, then fairness, impartiality, justice cannot enter. It's all built on truth. And when truth is gone, there's no right or wrong. And that's where we are as a nation today. When truth is gone, there is no right or wrong. What is right cannot enter. Is it right? Is it right that today in the public school systems, a person cannot come in with a t-shirt that's got Bible verses written on it? They cannot come in with a t-shirt that's got a picture of maybe the cross of Calvary on it. They can't come in with a picture that's got a baby in a womb on it. If they come in with those shirts, they're going to be told, you've got to go home, you've got to change that. But let them put a picture of some wicked, ungodly, filthy rap star on their t-shirt. Oh, well, that, we love that. That's okay, that's fine, you can do that. Let them put some sports hero on there. Maybe like the fella, what is his name, Hernandez from New England that's right now on trial for executing somebody. Or the ball player, Milton Bradley. And these are both in the paper today, who's on trial now or going to court for spousal abuse. We put the world's heroes there and everything's fine. We put spiritual heroes on there. Oh, no, you can't do that. Equity cannot enter. There is no fairness. There is no right. Those things aren't allowed. You know, the Bible has never been a problem in school. There's never been a time that anybody went to school with the Bible and badly influenced someone else, got them to use drugs, made them shoot somebody, taught them bad, evil things about sex education. That's never happened by somebody carrying a Bible. But the minute we got that thing out, all those other things swarmed in without any hesitation. The bad stuff could enter, but equity, what, equity, what's right? Justice? No, it's not welcome. That's a description of our nation today. The drugs, the sex, the rock music, the weapons. As the old slogan says, you've come a long way, baby. We've turned in the Word of God for all those different things. What's right cannot enter. That's where our nation is today. Notice then thirdly, and we go to the top of the verse, and judgment is turned away backward. Judgment is turned away backward. The Bible is telling us that this nation that gets so far away from God, the judgment is backward. You read the paper? Is that a mystery? Is that a surprise? I mean, I just sat down with these things and thought, you know, I don't even have to make anything up. I don't have to dig and search for this stuff. It's all right there in front of us. Justice is backwards. We are defending same-sex marriage and attacking traditional marriage. And you mark it down. When somebody is saying, well, we're pushing homosexuality, but we still support traditional marriage. No, they don't. They're lying through their teeth. Justice is turned around backwards. You know what that truth that's fallen? A child has parents that first were married, then had children. Then they stay together to raise their children. So they can teach them first to get married, then to have children, so that they can raise their children, so that they can first get married. See, that's been the system for a long time in America, but it's not the system now. Truth has fallen in the street. What's right cannot enter. And our younger generations don't know anything but that. You talk to some of these kids sometimes you see that are out there in society. And you know what they want to do when they grow up? They want to be just like mom and dad. They want to sit on the couch all day and watch television and get checks that come in the mail. They think that's normal. They think that's because truth has fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. And judgment is backward. Here's what they said. It's a woman's choice what happens in here. That's backwards. It ought to be that choice. And I guarantee you that if they could speak to that person in there, 100 times out of 100 they would say, I want to live. I don't want to be aborted. I don't want to be killed. I want to live. But judgment is turned around backward. We're defending the guilty and slaughtering the innocent. And yet God said that all the way back in Isaiah, 700 years before Christ was born. He said all the way back there, judgment is turned around backward. You know what? A bunch of nuts called atheists can complain about a cross down somewhere in New Mexico or here. I don't even know where it is. Some cross that's been up there as a World War II monument for 50 years. They can complain that it violates separation of church and state and get that thing removed. Now, it's back up there now, but it was cloaked over for a long time. And you know all the things that are going on. They're fighting everything, getting the Ten Commandments out here, and their rights are... An atheist has freedom of speech, but a Christian doesn't. A Christian businessman cannot put those things in his own store. Judgment is turned around backwards. We've already mentioned the debate between evolution and creation. Judgment's turned away backwards. You know what just happened this week. A majority of California voters voted for traditional marriage, Proposition 9. Is it 9? I think that's Proposition 8. Somebody help me. Which one was it? It was one of those propositions anyways. The majority of California voters voted against gay marriage in their state constitution, and the Supreme Court, by a vote of 5-4 last week, overrode the majority decision of the people of that state and said, we're going to make it law in your state. Judgment is turned around backwards. Lady Gaga, or as Brother Hamblin says, Lady Gag Me, sang the national anthem last week. And at the end of the national anthem, she said, for the land of the free and the home for the gay. In our national anthem, she sang that. Now, I'm glad to report to you that everybody's mad about that. But everybody on both sides is mad about taking that and using that. But that's the world we live in right now. I mean, Lady Gaga, who didn't know that? Who didn't know something stupid was going to come out of her mouth anyways? But can I tell you, one time those pop singers were younger pop singers, like Justin Bieber or whatever his name is, Bieber, whatever. You know what? We take Lady Gaga and do that, and we take the young one and say, well, it's okay. You know what that one becomes after that many years doing that? It becomes that one there. It's the same track. It's the same thread. Oh, we love this one, but not. People are gullible. Christians have failed. We're not the light of the world we're supposed to be. We ingrain ourselves in today's society and then complain when society gets wicked and ungodly. Judgment is backward. Judgment is backward. Instead of protecting families with children in the state of California, they protected people that can't have families with children. Judgment's turned around backwards. And then lastly, in verse number 14, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Isn't that a sad picture? Truth has fallen in the street. Equity can't come in and help. Judgment has turned its back away, and justice is afar off. What a sad picture. That's the portrayal of a nation that's gone into complete godlessness. And it's a picture of our nation tonight. Where is justice? Where is justice? Those of you that 10, 12 years ago followed the O.J. Simpson trial, where's justice? What a sham. What a farce. It doesn't matter. You can bring in the most recent case right now. It's nothing to do with justice. It's all political scheming. That football player that's on trial right now for having executed someone, he wants to marry his girlfriend while he's in jail. And they find out the reason he wants to do it is because then she's sworn to secrecy. She can't testify against her husband. She can't against her boyfriend. They're all playing political games. Nobody's really after the truth. Nobody really wants to know who's innocent and who's guilty. Somebody gets convicted of something like O.J. or one of those guys, and they get the highest-priced lawyers they can, the ones, the F. Lee Baileys that have a reputation for getting people that are guilty off the hook. And justice suffers. Justice stands afar off. 9/11 happens. And our leaders tell us it's not the Muslims' fault. They're peace-loving people. Can I tell you, if you don't already know, Islam has never been a peace-loving religion. It's never been a peace-loving religion. You say, well, all those Muslims up in Dearborn, Michigan, I mean, they're living the American life. But you give them an opportunity to enforce their laws and enforce their religion on everybody else, and they'll jump at it. It's never been a peace-loving religion. And somebody that buys that is just gullible. Justice is afar off. Then somebody goes down there in Texas, a Muslim guy, and unloads his M16 or whatever he had on all those people, and where's justice? You read the papers. You know what the IRS just did. Targeting Tea Party, 9/11 part. Where's justice? Oh, we take the Fifth. Well, nothing we can do. They took the Fifth. Nothing we can do. Where's justice? Benghazi. Selling us on lies, telling us things that we know now are not true. Where's the justice for it? Where's the repercussions for wickedness, ungodliness, lying, dishonesty? And then the younger generations come up and say, oh, you can lie your way out of anything. Where'd they learn that? Our politicians. Now it's the wiretaps. Don't you get tired of political correctness? Don't you get tired of just the liberal media assaults Christianity every single day? Those Chris Matthews and those guys, they will say anything that comes to their mind against Christianity, and they get a free pass for it. But somebody else says something that's not politically correct, use the wrong word, say it in the wrong context, and boy, everything comes down upon them. Why? Justice standeth afar off. Folks, we're in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. God is holy and righteous, and He is displeased, verse 15. The Lord saw it, and it displeased Him. But again, you know what? Most Americans don't care. Give me my CDs. Give me my cable television. Give me what I want. I don't care. And a holy God in heaven looks down upon Christianity as the solution to the problem, and there's no solution. And God says it displeased Him. And He says in verse 16, and He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Would you be that man? Would you be that intercessor? What is an intercessor? It's a prayer warrior. Someone that gets down on their knees and says, God, save our nation. God, turn us around. God, deliver us from everything in this country that's backward. God, be with our preacher and be with the preachers of our country that they'll get up and sound truth. Not be worried about what's being put on the iPad that the government people are watching and seeing what's going on. Not worried about the recordings and what they're saying that might later come against them. Not like this church that says, well, you know, abortion and homosexuality are minor issues. Would you be that man? Would you be that intercessor? He saw that there was none. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.